Christine, do you have a medical word for it, what it's called, sick, people sick? We'll just stick with that, okay? And a lot of people been sick right now, so pray for that if you will, and pray for some of our elderly too. We'll pray for Ms. Wiley. Brent Jimmy mentioned that, but she has just been hit. She's went from virus to infection, back to another virus and infection, and the doctor literally told her, you know, we could try to help your heal, but if we operate on you, I'm not sure that it would help you physically, and you would be able to get back to where you are now. So I think we need to pray for her. And new caller, Brother Ron, I appreciate you mentioning that. The boys ran her a birthday present away here, but pray for her. Go see those that are shut in like that. Please help us, and thank you so much, those who do, and I appreciate your prayers for that, and them as well. Now, tonight, as we get into Exodus, look, you got to follow me on this, all right? It's a lot of material tonight. We are going to cover about 40 years of this man's life, okay? 40 years of the man Moses, and you read through the Bible, and you read stuff, and you say, man, how in the world could that happen? How in the world could that take place? I'm going to look at it, okay? Here's how it takes place. You ready? God can do anything. Amen. And I'm just saying, there's no other way to put it out there. And that is the thing. Until an individual comes to that grip that our God can do anything, then we can't get a hold of what the Bible is presenting God as. Because the truth of the matter is, God is not a religion. He is a person we have a relationship with. And listen, He is the sovereign ruler of everything that we see. Everything that we see. And this morning, Brother Jimmy even mentioned this a little bit ago. But it was my first morning this year and praying for Doug Jones. And I'd never prayed for him before. I'm just going to be honest with you. I haven't. And you remember Sunday school last Sunday, if you were there, and Timothy said, hey, you pray for all people. I want all people to be prayed for, especially those in authority. And then he goes on to say, hey, I don't want anybody to perish, but all to come to repentance. And I believe God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. Amen? And we need to be praying for those people. And I do realize, and I pray for Alabama right now. I told Bramiki a while ago, I went to bed last night with a knot in my stomach like Mississippi State just lost the national championship. I couldn't believe it. And he is one of the most liberal senators in the United States of America. And he's the senator for the state of Alabama. So let's pray for him. Pray for him. And God can use his life and work in his heart. So let's pray for him. And man, maybe we just say, hey, you elect us a liberal. We'll pray some good things down. Amen. And so let's be praying for him. Pray for him that God can work and God can do his thing tonight. Exodus chapter number 1 tonight. Now to bring us up to speed, okay? I don't want to miss any years here. I want to bring this up to speed. If you remember, the book of Genesis ends like this. God's people had hit this big famine, and everybody was dying. You remember that? Everybody was dying, and there was one individual, a man of God, that went through so many things, but God gave him, if you can, the anointing to be able to lead God's people, get them where they need to be. And that man's name was Joseph. Now, you remember Joseph? He settled there in Egypt. He literally helped salvation come to that whole region because of the wisdom that God had given them to store up and to provide for everybody. Now, watch this. So they went into Egypt, and there was a Pharaoh there and said, man, this guy Joseph, everything he touches is blessed because of his God. So he said, here's what we're going to do. Joseph, whatever we need to do, you tell us. So that was how, if you can, the nation ran for several years. But then, here's what happens. All good things will come to an end. They say, that king, that Pharaoh, that leader, he died. And when he died, another man came on the scene and took his place. And when he took his place, the Bible says that that new king, watch this, did not have favor for God's people. Did not have favor for God's people. And that's where Moses comes into picture. If you're following so far tonight, say amen.
Amen.
Let's stand and go through Exodus chapter number 1 tonight. Exodus chapter number 1. If you will, let's look at several verses tonight. I'm trying to figure out exactly where we need to go to. Look at verse 8. I just gave you a whole rundown of what happened. But look at verse 8. It says this. Now there rose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not who?
Joseph.
And he said unto the people, behold, the people, the children of Israel, are more and mightier than we. So he said, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply and it come to pass that when they're fought without any war, they join also under our enemies and fight against us and still get them out of the land. So this new king said, man, this thing, these Israelites, God's people, there's so many. If we have a war, they're going to beat the daylights out of us. We've got to deal with them. Look at verse 16. And the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw that he was a goodly child, she hid him for 3 months. Now what happened? Here this lady was. The Pharaoh said, listen, any male children born, you kill them. And then later when that didn't work out the way he said, go get them and let's throw them in the river. And she had a baby boy and said, man, this boy seems special. So what did this lady do? She tried to hide him from the king that was trying to kill him. Now look at verse 3. The Bible says, and when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink, and his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. Tonight I want us to begin the life of Moses on how to draw closer to God. Let's pray. Father, will you help us tonight, Lord? We need you. Jesus, make this simple to our hearts tonight, Lord. Sometimes we overthink things. And God, we are so guilty of trying hard to be close to you when the truth of the matter is we are called to sit back and abide in you and look to you by faith. So, Lord Jesus, tonight, will you make this simple in our hearts? Help me, God, and guide me in the next few moments. There be one here tonight who does not know you as Savior and Lord, that tonight will be the night they would say yes to Jesus. God, help us now. We pray in your name, Jesus, and all God's people said, amen. 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 Thank you. You can be seated. Before we get started in Moses tonight, I want to give you a couple things on your paper. First of all, Bible facts about Moses. When you think about Moses, God used Moses to perform more miracles than anyone in the Bible except the Lord Jesus Christ. I think it's very interesting. The second thing about Moses was, if you think about Moses, he wrote the first 5 books of the Bible. If you're new around church, make new terms, the Pentateuch, the first 5 books of the Bible, Moses was the one that God used to write those. Another interesting thing, when Moses was one of the 2 Old Testament prophets that was called to meet with Jesus on the mount when he was transfigured before them in Matthew chapter 17, the New Testament, Jesus was actually glorified on the top of the mountain. There were 2 Old Testament prophets that appeared. Moses was one of those men. Not only that, but in Deuteronomy 34:10, it says that Moses was the greatest prophet at that point, and there's never been another like him. So when you think about Moses, some awesome things about him, I want to say this tonight. Look at your next statement with me. I want to give you some Bible failures about Moses. When you look at Moses tonight, you say, Brother Joy, why are you saying this? This is why I'm saying this. Because tonight, when I'm preaching on Moses tonight and teaching on Moses, there is not a lot of difference between you and I and Moses. Let me say that again. Because in a little bit, some of you will say, Brother Joy, there's no way that I can know God like Moses. That is not true. Moses was a man just like you and I, and he had struggles just like you and I. How do you know? Look at this. Bible failures of Moses. Here's one. He had anger issues. Anybody here lost your cool? Said something you didn't need to, you need to apologize for, you ain't yet. You need to go home and get right with your wife. Amen. Look at this next thing. Check this out. He was fearful. Moses struggled with fear. He struggled with being afraid to do what God wanted him to do. And you know, a lot of times in our lives, that is a crippling thing for us, is fear of doing what we know God wants us to do, but we're afraid of what's going to happen if we obey God. Moses struggled with that. Here's another thing about Moses' failure. Weakness, I can say, is he had speech limitations. We're going to see that in just a little bit, I think, in a couple weeks on Wednesday night. But Moses actually had a limitation in his speech, and he said, Lord, I'm not the best talker. You sure you want to use me? And then another thing, a fourth thing is this, and most of us can identify with this, those of us who are honest about our own selves tonight, but Moses was a stubborn man. He was stubborn. God had to tell him things over and over and over again. You know why? Because he was stubborn. You know why God has to teach us the same things over and over again? Because we too are, say the word with me, stubborn. We're stubborn. Moses was stubborn. But I want you to look at your proposition tonight. Moses, however, the greatest truth about Moses for us is that he was a man who spent time with God and enjoyed being in his presence. When you look at Moses' life,
to say this tonight. There's two foundational truths that I think we can see from Moses' life. And if we will get a hold of these two elementary truths tonight, I think it'll help us walk with God. Or I know it's been a blessing to me this week. I pray it will be you too. If you know tonight, you need to remind yourself of this. I'm not going to say anything tonight that most of us in here do not know. Stay with me. I'm not going to say anything tonight that most of us in here do not know. But I'm going to say some things tonight that all of us in here need to be reminded of. What do you mean? Here's what I mean. One of the things you have to do as an adult is keep a close eye on your money. Because if you don't, you'll spend yourself into trouble. However, it's a whole lot easier to go out to McDonald's than to go home and cook. And it's easier to do it on Tuesday after you did it on Monday. And on Wednesday, you can get the coupon from Brother Brian and Winn-Dixie and go get a whole snack plate with a drink for $4.99. And before you know it, you blew your budget. Why? Is this I know I didn't need to do it. Yes, but you need to be reminded of it. And I believe a lot of times in our life as Christians, we struggle walking with God, not because of what we do not know, but because of what we fail to remind ourselves of. Y'all see it? Can you see it? And I think that's the thing tonight. It's not that you don't know these things about God, but it's the very simple fact. We forget to remind ourselves every morning that this is who our God is. So when you look at Moses' life tonight, what are two foundational truths about God and Moses' life that will help us daily walk with our God and remind ourselves of number one tonight? Here it is. First of all, the first foundational truth is that God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for your life. What do you mean, Brother Joey? Here's what I mean tonight. Now, before we get into Moses, I want to say this. Every person in this building tonight, God has a plan for your life. Listen to me. Every day. Every day in your life, God has a plan for your life. And you've got to understand, if I know Christ as my Savior, and I turn from my own way of living, and I turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, and He has done His work in my heart, and I now want to live for Him and obey Him, I have to understand that every day of my life, He has a plan for my life. Now, when we look at Moses' life tonight, one of the first things we're going to recognize is that God had a plan for his life, and He had a purpose and a plan for Moses' life. I want you to look, if you will, back at verse 16. If you look in verse 16, the Bible tells us, verse 16, it says, and he said, the king said, when you do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, and see one on the stools, if it be a son, that ye shall kill him. In verse 22, he said again, hey, even the son that is born, you shall cast into the river. So what was he trying to do? Egypt had a king who was not friendly towards God's people until Joseph died. But then after that, look at your statement. The new king did not like the Hebrews, so he ordered in chapter 1, verses 16 to 22, that all male babies be killed upon their birth. However, in chapter 2, verse number 3, Moses' mom places him in a Nile river. Pharaoh's daughter rescues him. His mother nurses him, and he grows up as Pharaoh's son. Now, what do you mean, Brother Joey? Here's what I want you to get. The devil tried to kill Moses, but God kept him alive. Why? Because God had a plan for his life. And just like God had a plan for Moses' life, He has a plan for my life. He has a plan for your life too. And this is the key to understanding a closer walk with God. Listen to me tonight. You're not God's forgotten. It's not that He don't care about you. My friend, you are in His eye tonight. He has a plan for your life. And every day in the morning, He has a plan for you. It's not just generic. It is you personally. He knows your name, your address, your house. He's got something in your life every day that He wants to do. Somebody say amen tonight. Hallelujah to God. Brother Joy, how is this so important? I want you to think about this tonight. The fact every morning that God has a plan for you, I want you to think about these simple truths. Here's your statement. You are never out of His sight when He sees you. Never out of His sight when He sees you. This morning, do you realize that God knows exactly when you got out of bed? He knows how many times you hit the snooze button. He knows whether you brushed your teeth first or you made your coffee first. He sees everything in your life. And one of the things we have to understand is, boy, they took Moses and she was scared that the king was going to kill him. So she made a little basket, took him down, listen to this, to the Nile River. came to the river, she saw him. When his mama would nurse him, she saw him. Why? Because he had a plan for his life. And just like God had a plan for Moses, he has a plan for you. You're never out of his sight. Look at this next thing. You are never out of his care. You are never out of his care tonight. Understand, every day of your life, he knows what you need. And can I tell you tonight, some of you in this building tonight, you need something from God. You don't need a preacher to tell you something. And some of you, we're figuring that out. I can't help you in here. Only God can. And here's what we do. We depend on people like crutches. And our stability is not in Christ, it is in people. It is in things, it is in churches, it is in ideas. And then what happens when the crutch goes away or the crutch falls? Hey, what happens? We begin to really, really struggle. But understand tonight, God knows what you need tonight. He knows exactly what you need in your life. And how do we walk with God? How do you walk with Him? You got to understand that He knows what you need. And every day you got to run to Him. Why? Because He sees you, He knows what you need. Then look at this third simple thing. You are never out of his thoughts. He has plans for you. Every morning in my life and in your life when I get out of bed, he has a plan for my life that day. He wants to listen to me, talk to me that day. He wants to spend time with me that day. He wants to spend time with you that day. He sees me. He knows what I need. I'm never out of his thoughts. He's got a plan for me in my life. And hey, when you look at baby Moses here, the first thing you begin to understand is that God had a plan for this boy's life. Think about this. If he didn't, Moses would have been dead before the Nile River. He wouldn't even have made it that far. Do you understand that the soldiers were riding around? They were walking around, and they were looking for baby boys to kill and throw in the river. But God preserved Moses. Why? Because he had a plan for his life. And listen to me. He's got a plan for your life. Every day he's got a plan for your life, number two. Number one, God has a plan for your life. Number two, God has a purpose for everything in your life. God has a purpose for everything in your life. Now watch this tonight, okay? Would you say with me? I have a credit card. Don't get nervous. Put my name on it. Now watch. I'm not a fan of credit cards. As a matter of fact, when I preach and teach on finances, I preach and teach against these things. This is what they will get you in trouble. Somebody say amen about that. I have this one because when you travel, you go to airports and stuff, they don't take, many of them don't even take cash anymore. You have to have an actual credit card thing and big purchases and stuff like that. You have to, something like this, but I watch this. Why do I have this particular card? This is why. Because everything that I get, if I go through and I buy gas on the way somewhere or something, I get a small percentage of that back. Why? Because this works for me. When this stops doing that and another company starts doing a better job, what do? We get that card. Look at it. That's a lot of people's view of God. God, I want you as long as you can do something for me. But when you stop helping me, God, I'm going to go find something else to help me. And when you look at Moses' life, listen to me. That was not his viewpoint of God. We don't come to God because of what we can get from God. We come to God because we realize we're sinners and we need Him. And understand this. When a person comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, everything in that person's life will be used by God for His purpose. Good or bad, look at your statement if you will. I want you to look at your statement on this. One of the things that we learn from Moses' life is whatever happens, good or bad, it is for the purpose of helping us walk with Him in this world. Even everything in our life is to teach us more about God, more about evil, more about our flesh, more about this world, and how to be closer to God. Do you understand that I, as a Christian, you battle, if you can, a triangle every day. You battle your flesh, you battle the some of you don't, so I want to go to it, okay? Romans chapter number 8. I want you to see this tonight, and I want us to look at this verse, because this verse can be life-changing for some of us tonight if we will just get a hold of it. Now, remember, we're talking about walking with God. What's the first foundation of truth? He has a plan for my life. Listen, the devil may try to kill me. God will preserve me. Why? Because he has a plan for my life, and every day I've got to wake up and live by that. But not only that, he has a purpose for everything in my life. As a Christian, you are not going to always get 5% of cash back. Sometimes you're going to have struggles. You're going to have problems. You're going to have heartache. You're going to have struggles and issues. You're going to have bad times in your life. But now look at this. Romans chapter number 8. Now listen, if you're learning to walk with God tonight, you're a fairly new believer, you need to circle this, highlight this. You need to do something to this verse. Look at it. Romans chapter number 8, verse 28, the Bible says this. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now I want you to look back at the beginning of that verse. And we know that, say those next two words. All things. Now look at me tonight. Whatever happens in my life as a Christian is going to have a purpose to help me in my life. You say, Brother Joey, it's bad. It doesn't matter. God will use it. You say, Brother Joey, it hurts. Listen to me. God will use it. Brother Joey, I got off track. God will use it. It's not what I wanted. God will use it. It's not what I expected. God will use it. Why? Because he has a purpose for everything in your life. And does it ever occur to us that sometimes the only way that God can get our attention is through pain? Now, I don't know about you in your life, but I know about me in my life. When I'm on the mountaintop in my Christian life, many times I enjoy the blessings of God. But when I'm in the valley is when I enjoy the blessing of God himself. And we got to learn as Christians, everything that we go through, there is a purpose to it. What do you mean, Brother Joey? First of all, what do we learn from Moses' life about this? Our failures. Look at chapter 2, verse number 11, 14. I want you to see this. Our failures. Chapter number 2, Exodus chapter 2, verses 11 and 14. Look what the Bible says here. The Bible tells us, chapter 2, verse 11 and 14. And it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown, that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens, and he spied an Egyptian, spied a Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went out there the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together, and he said to him that did the wrong, wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? And he said, who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killest the Egyptian also? And Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. Now I want you to think just for a moment. Do you see what happens here? Moses was an Egyptian. Hey, the Bible says here this was probably when he was grown. So we know it's about 40 years here where he is. So here he is. He walks outside, and what does he see? He sees his people, his soldiers, Pharaoh's people that are beating up on the Israelites that were the slaves there in Egypt. And he goes down and they get into a struggle and he ends up killing the soldier and hides him in the sand. And he says, oh no. And he comes out the next day and God's people are arguing. He says, y'all stop arguing. And they said, Moses, what are you going to do? You going to kill us like you killed that man? And then what did Moses do? Moses took off. He left and he went to the Midian. What was Midian? The desert of Midian. What was this? You ready for this? This was a failure in Moses' life. But this event brought major change to Moses' life, but it was a good change. What do you mean, Brother Joey? Here's what I mean. Understand tonight that some of us in this building, we are struggling with sin in our life tonight. Some of you in here, you're struggling with sin in your life tonight. You're struggling with a bad thoughts. You're struggling with bitterness and unforgiveness. Listen to me tonight. Those sins that you're struggling with in your life, they are can bring failures in your life, but those failures can teach you something. There is a purpose in them. If you allow God to use it to work in your life, and hey, as a Christian tonight, even my failures are opportunities for God to teach me something. Now somebody say amen up there. Because here's what the devil does. You ready? Here's what happens. You see it? Devil comes to you. You're no good. You can never be used by God again. This man just killed somebody. You listen to me, he just killed somebody. But this failure in his life had a purpose to it. Why? Because God had a relationship with Moses. Boy, this has been a blessing to me. This may not mean a thing to you, but I've been excited about this second part all week long. Now, if you're still breathing, say I'm here. We're almost done. Look at verse 15. Look what happens. Now, the Bible says, after Moses realized what happened and that it was known, he begins to run for his life. Now, when Pharaoh heard this thing, what thing? What he just did, his failure, he sought to slay Moses, having killed the boy he'd been raising as his son. For 40 years, he tries to kill him. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. The second thing tonight that God uses to purpose in our life, not only our failures, but our deserts. Our deserts. What do you mean, Brother Joey? Moses would run to the desert of Midian. He would be there all alone and have no one for the next 40 years of his life. I want you to think with me just a moment. Moses was growing up in the palace. He would be in the palace under Pharaoh for 40 years. But it was not until he got to the desert in Midian, out there all alone, by himself, none of his family, it was not until he got out there that Moses began to really learn some things about walking with God. And you know tonight, in my life and in your life, one of the greatest times in our life when God teaches us is when we are in the desert. You know what I mean by that? He puts you there. Think about a desert. Deserts are dry. They're uncomfortable. They're unpredictable. They're dangerous. Some of you right now in your life tonight, you might be at a place that you would consider dangerous. You say, but Joe, I don't know what's going to happen in my life. You know what that is? You're in a desert. What is a desert so important? I tell you, Moses was able to learn more from God in this desert than he did in the palace. Why? I want you to look at these things Moses learned. First of all, Moses learned who God was in the desert. It wasn't until he got in the desert where he had nothing and nobody and no one that he was able to learn who God was. Look at this next thing. Moses met his wife in the desert. Moses met his wife in the desert. It was out there where Moses met his wife, and this was where he was able to get connected with this lady. Out there in the desert, the third thing Moses learned to lead in the desert. Well, while he was out there, he was watching over these sheep, these animals, and he was taking care of these flocks. How? But he was learning how to lead. He was learning to be responsible. He was learning these things. And this was a 40 years out in the desert. But I want you to look at this next thing, okay? Please stay with me here. Please stay with me right here. I know it's been, look, we're going to be done on time. If you're still breathing, say amen. Don't miss this. While Moses was out there in the desert, Moses learned to live nomadic in the desert. What does that mean? The Midianites, you ready for this? They were nomadic type people. Here's what that means. They didn't build cities and walls and temples and fortresses. They didn't build those things. Why? Because they moved from place to place to place. They never got comfortable in the world they lived in. And you know what deserts do to us as Christians? They help us to understand that the world we need to be living for is not down here, but it's up there. Because you can lose everything that you call what you love down here just like that. Just like that. What do you do? I know a man I've tried to mentor. He went from making $83,000 a year to getting paid $7.25 an hour. One man. I'll tell you, your life can change instantly. Can it not? Instantly, it can change. Bam! Just like that. And Moses learned to live with an eternal mindset. Now, what does all this mean to us tonight? First of all, in our conclusion, because God has a plan for our lives, we're never out of His grip, we're never out of His care, we're never out of His thoughts. Tonight, get a hold of that in the morning. When you wake up, He sees you, He knows what you need, He's got plans for you that day. God has a plan for your life. Secondly, because God has a purpose for everything in our life, we are never discarded due to what is going on in our life. And tonight, you may be at a place in your life and you say, God, why have you allowed this to happen? Because He has a purpose for it in your life. You say, Brother Joe, it's a failure. Yeah, you got off track. But God can use that to teach you more about Him, more about His